the tale of the Reverend Kenneth Forrester, an Anglican priest in southwest France.
I am completely alone and have to do everything. And I have an excellent lady churchwarden, but she has a 24-hour job with her aged husband. We keep this church clean. We repair things. I mean, if hooks fall off altar frontals, I come and sew them on. We have to do everything. You see, there's no verger, there's no secretary, there's no organist, so we have to prepare all the cassette music and all that kind of thing. It goes on all the time.
Mr. Forrester, I'd count a friend of mine. For several seasons now, while travelling overland from Britain to Spain, I've called in, briefly, at his church of St. Andrew in Pope, where he's the chaplain to our kind, and there in the Diocese of Gibraltar.
Our prayers are asked today for the chaplaincy of St. Andrew at Tangier, and for the chaplain Jack Peel, for that of St. John at Casablanca, and for that of St. Nicholas at Bordeaux with Toulouse, and the chaplain Arthur Harvey.
Church of England abroad is when the congregation gather after morning service. They'll include old Graham Greens and Daphne du Maurier's, more old-fashionedly English than England back home. And if not exactly my kind, they're tongues of the same fur.
I was a little almost late for buying a newspaper, and of course the shop was shut. I only know one place where I could get the Telegraph. And that was shut this morning.
Toulouse and the elegant of Biarritz in the Pyrenees. The Anglican chaplain has been in for 5 years. Now, I know a jibe's applied that continental clergymen have run away from the problems back home for a life in some permanent lazy afternoon. But I've witnessed Mr. Forrester in 5 years spruce up his church from near dereliction to a polished Anglo-Catholic gem. And I've a respect for Mr. Forrester. I joined the chaplain the weekend before his last service and before he took an early retirement.
Madame, bonjour.
Bonjour, monsieur.
Du beurre, madame.
Oui, monsieur. Where are
you?
Yes.
Tout aide de l'huile d'arachide.
For a Saturday morning, he ecclesiastical supplies to buy in the market. Groundnut oil, not for his salad, but the church's sanctuary lamp.
Combien, madame?
25.
12 francs.
Voilà.
Ah, c'est un prix d'ami.
Voilà.
C'est un prix d'ami pour moi.
Pour vous.
Au revoir.
Au revoir. I'm a Franco for you. There is a saying that everybody's got two countries, his own country, France. And that is true for me. I like this country. It's extremely civilized, probably the most civilized country in the world. And there is a politesse which is very pleasant.
Qu'est-ce que je vous donne comme signe, monsieur le curé?
Nous n'avons pas d'archi pour
dimanche. Vous êtes dans une paroisse, monsieur le curé? Ah, c'est ça. Oui, oui, l'église anglaise. Oui, vous venez de temps en temps. Bien sûr.
Mr. Forrester's been 40 years a man of the cloth, out of Ely Theological College, but done his Church of Englanding mostly abroad, in Inverness, in Malaga, in Switzerland, and latterly France. But a strangely English part of France.
Did you see the alley, Miss Hutton?
Yes.
This Miss Hutton was the lady who made the dog cemetery.
Ah, I'm getting them
which
confused.
Which, of course, we don't talk about, because it was in the church garden.
Not there now.
Well, no, it's been... I think the French word uses désaffecté. Done away with.
I noticed the English presence still visible. Miss Carter's Old England shop with Pringle golfing sweaters and Viella shirts. Poe got the first golf course on the continent, 1856, laid out by the Duke Hamilton, mentioned in Trollope's Poe, and where Dawnford Yeats, a sort of middle-brow man's Evelyn Waugh, set lots of languid country house novels in the 1930s. There were three English churches and a Scots Episcopalian, and the city council still commemorate the presence on street names like Rude Dr. Alexander Taylor. This particularly strong British connection all began when the Duke of Wellington, he of the £5 note, his troops were riding back from Napoleonic Wars, fed up with heat and Spain, and they found to their surprise when they crossed into France, although they were British, they were welcome. And they christened this countryside of Béarn around Po their Leicestershire beneath the Pyrenees.
It was so much like home. It was England's green and pleasant land all over again. And many decided that they would like to settle. Mrs. Forbes, for example, whom you know, her family came here as long ago as 1840, 1850, and settled.
She had a parrot last time, wasn't
she? She did indeed have a parrot called Adelaide, and poor Adelaide died.
Oh, sorry.
And under mysterious circumstances, she had something the matter with her, and she just was found on the bottom of her cage one morning.
To see Mrs. Forbes this time, I'd have to wait. She wasn't up to it, said Mr. Forrester, but he'd take me off to see another of the ancient but few pillars of his English church, a Mrs. Magg. We walked to where she lived, in a big graceful house, in its own enormous grounds, but very faded. All the rooms upstairs were shuttered off, and almost all downstairs in gloom.
Now, this is really the dog's house, not mine. There are all the chairs and everything, and so everything's in the most awful, awful mess.
The Sunday Telegraph.
I'm installing the electricity downstairs. I've had plasterers, and the house has not yet been cleaned. Do sit down.
And she took off a dusty shelf. Behind 1,000 fading copies of the Sunday Telegraph, a huge album of sepia snaps of her heyday.
They used to be called the Yates. And this sneaking Miss Ritchie. And, I can't remember her last name. And it was Eileen Meekin, who had a lot of money in the Rolls Royce, and she had two friends, and they used to come every winter and rent a flat in Poole. And play golf. They weren't horsey at all. It was just golf. Golf in the morning, golf in the evening. People really used to come to Poole for the hunting. The golf club. That's Miss Wolstenholme.
And with her?
And that is the Marquise de Guadalmina, who was an American married to a Spaniard. And they lived in the Chateau de Bière.
And there are the green trees and the fences and the horses jumping over.
This is a knit, well, she was a Miss Singer, sewing machines.
Ah.
And a niece of the Princess de Polignac.
Oh, painted horses, over the hedges, over the jumps.
This princess whom I remember. And this was, this is Madame Dubreuil, who was born Miss Platt.
Miss Platt?
Yes. I knew her mother was from a very good English family, and they had something mentioned in the at Windsor in the chapel, one of her member of her family.
The area has its sinister side, this corner of France. Dr. Alexander Taylor wrote a book recommending Poe to Victorian English for the chest and TB, and people came to Poe to be ill and to hide from debt, from shame at home in England.
Must have all been terribly sad, you know. People came here and died off like flies, and
It was very short.
Saunder was thinking about syphilis.
Well, yes, as Mrs. Forbes said to me, well, of course, a lot of people came here with the unmentionable disease.
Mr. Forrester conducts more funerals than weddings at the Church of St. Andrew on the Rue O'Quinn. His is the only one that remains. The other three Anglo churches are shut up, their heyday gone too. With no one to help him, I joined Mr. Forrester Saturday morning. He was doing the work angels won't do.
Ah, I'm sorry, I have to do this. Can I help you?
No. You're washing the fountain?
No, I'm not washing it. I'm emptying it.
Emptying it?
Yes.
Well, what was in there before?
Water.
Where from?
From our baptism.
Oh. When did you have the last baptism?
Well, on Easter Monday.
How many have you done since you've been here?
Oh, four.
The prayer do?
Oh, it's prayer, yes.
Where did this come from?
Well, I baptized two others. They have a baby every year.
Ah.
This chap who got a job.
Ah, yes, they have a baby every year. Well, not every year.
Cool. I hope somebody has a baby every year here, isn't it?
Well,
or the congregation would disappear.
I don't know where there aren't any children to speak of.
Why is the pig wire all round the iron railing?
The idea was to keep cats out. It keeps cats out, but unfortunately people cut the wire at the bottom to let the cats in.
Why?
Well, there are people who think cats ought to be able to live in our garden and breed there. And somebody actually broke the windows of the heating chamber to let them live in there. We have had a lot of... They've been in the ventilating system for church. And they've pushed themselves up through ventilators and jumped on altars and put their dirty paw marks over the linen trying to get out.
I don't want you to think Mr. Forrester's church is a tin tabernacle. Though it has no tower or spire, it's Victorian. It's stone built, and inside it's a little gem. The altar up the front where it should be, two candles and a silver cross, a brass eagle lectern, a towering reredos, and pews. Mr. Forrester purloined from an extinct Anglican chapel at Saint-Jean-de-Luz. He rescued brass memorial plates from the dungeons here and fixed them back on the church walls to commemorate Jane, Countess of Bantry, who worshipped for several seasons in this church. There's stained glass in the windows of saints. Only the faces of the saints are the benefactors of the windows from the families of consumptives who died in Poe. Whether it be in England, a side chapel or a lady chapel, in St. Andrew's there's the mortuary room.
And it was for the purpose of receiving coffins, because in those days, yes, the people who died, in those days there were problems, especially these people who came to Poe to die, these consumptive people, perhaps they died in hotels, and... This was provided, and it was for the use of all members of the Anglican Communion. And they put the names of all the dead from the beginning of the chaplaincy. 1866 was the church's 1888.
So the first dead person was Josephine?
Ratislaw.
Polish.
Perhaps...
The French occasionally peep in and kneel to purr in a church kept so old-fashioned and religious. That's what he does. He's been a housekeeper to a relic of old England.
There are seven sanctuary lamps, as you see, very, very high church, Victorian, and the big one in the centre was given by the Duke of Newcastle. He was a gentleman who used to kind of go round giving sanctuary lamps to churches. He had something about sanctuary lamps, and we got one. And they are really rather handsome, aren't they? They're copper.
You've got to put a new wick in.
Oh, yes. is an enormous amount to do. It's like having a big house and all the housework and all the cleaning and the repairing has to be done. The angels don't do it, unfortunately.
And no parishioners?
Well, no, there isn't anybody. There's nobody I could ask. It's not a case of people being unwilling. There just isn't anybody. You see, when you have a lot of retired people, they disappear weeks on end and then come back in. Doing this of travelling.
He brought his candle down.
Yes, because I have to deal with it with a knife.
Well,
there's a nasty draught, you see, and this one runs down, unfortunately.
Was it a terrible mess when you came?
Oh, it was indescribable. These were black. Black. They were all repainted by Mrs. Forbes. In those days, she was very much on the spot. That altar frontal on there, that had been on for years and years and years and never been changed. And oh, what's that nuisance?
It's fallen
down the back.
It's
unmovable. That is not unmovable.
But we shall have to move it
because I haven't got another one. It isn't unmovable. Right. As a matter of... Now, wait a minute. As a matter of fact... Oh, no. Sweep that. Oh, it's all black under this, where that... You see all that black? Well, that's when all the radiators burst. It was dreadful.
Hunting for the candle had to stop, because at that moment, it was about the time football matches start in England, the St. Andrew's excellent church warden rushed in with her friend Mrs. Magg. The church warden, Mrs. Bruxter Randall, had the cassette music for tomorrow's Sunday service.
Mary.
You don't have a song.
No, I know, but the paraphrase is on here somewhere. But I've got to find it, you see. That's the whole thing. So we'll just have to go on until we find it, okay?
Well, I'll show you a couple of
others. It really is a bit too much to ask Mrs. B.R. to do all this because she's particularly pressed at the moment, isn't she, with her husband?
Yes.
He is 24 hours a day.
Nursing.
96. Well, he's not in bed. It would be easier if he
was. Probably,
but you see, he mustn't go to bed, because if he goes to bed, he'll never get up again.
What do you mean?
Well, he's so old, you see.
Oh.
And
he's
had strokes and things, and he's perfectly all right sitting in his armchair, looking at a newspaper or something, and then he suddenly decides he's going to get up, and he gets up and walks forward and falls down. She is out shopping, and she comes back and finds him on the floor and can't lift him up.
Very tall.
So if she can't get an either, she's got, because she lives in a big block, she can't find him. She had to go and get the pompier the other day.
The fire brigade.
Yes, to live. They're very nice people, pleased to do it and all that, but it is a... She's never quite sure, you see, whether she can come out.
Saturday evening, 5 o'clock. The church, spick and span for Sunday, and Mr. Forrester's work well done. His church is an accepted, cherished part of Poe today, thanks to the buffing and work he's put in. The French Catholics, who've seen awful modernisms happen in their own churches, appreciate. And as dusk fell, Mr. Forrester had an appointment at the chateau. We walked across town.
There's a man there with 6 rolls of bread under his arm.
A very common sight in France, to see people carrying bread around, and
Some people go to the baker's twice a day to make sure it's absolutely fresh. I think there's more bread. It's like Coleman's mustard, you know. More is wasted than eaten. I think it may be true of bread in France.
In the chateau lives a French government official who has a shared interest in saving old things we might call Victoriana. The chateau's a great grey, gaunt castle where the French King Henry IV was born. The castle stands moated and perched on an escarpment overlooking the railway station. Monsieur Perrault, the erudite official who studied at the V&A, lives in a flat in an eyrie at the top of two mountains of wooden steps. It was to be a business meeting.
You're leaving soon, there's an urgent realise that.
2 weeks.
Oh. The church, which is in very good state because you restored it very well.
Well, we have also just cleared out the chauffeury.
Yeah.
Which, and got rid of two ancient heating systems.
And did you get any treasure?
No, no, but we got rid of all the rubbish. Mm-hmm. And it's no longer a fire hazard. And the new heating system, oh, well, it's marvellous. Mm. I don't have to get up at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning anymore. It goes on automatically.
Yeah, that's marvellous.
We're trying to do something. Well, at least I hope they'll do something about the treasure ball. Well, you've probably never seen. We have a treasure ball.
Yes.
Which is heavy. Mm-hmm. With lovely embroidery.
Okay.
You must see it. I must show it to you. I think it's English,
mm-hmm.
The kind of thing that was produced by the Royal School of Needlework. You know?
Yes, and it's in a good state of...
Well, it's not at all bad. Oh, yes, it is not beyond restoration by any means. I asked the sisters at the Reparatis, you know.
Yes.
You know, whether they did anything like that, and... You know, we are so old and we don't see very well and we haven't got any vocations. How sad the whole thing is. Mm. So sad.
No nuns do the
needlework. No, they can't see well enough. You see, they're old. It's very sad. That's one of the very sad things about church life today, how the religious life is fading away almost.
Do you know the... A cemetery here with the
well, yes, I was
English
there.
Tombs and
I was there last year burying Mrs. Forbes' sister.
Oh yes.
Who
did she live here?
She lived in the area.
Oh yes, I did there.
And I did take the opportunity of looking round. It's a great shame a lot of those tombs of former English people are in a bad state.
Yes, I know.
But what can one do about it?
Well, we should try to talk about it with the mayor. Because it depends on the city, really.
I have a thing about tombstones, and one of the things I hate to see is a cleared churchyard.
Yeah.
And they take all the stones away because... I think, you know, when you set up a monument, you expect it to remain there
yes,
until it's denuded away by natural forces. Pas arrivé, monsieur le facteur.
No post, not yet.
Later.
Perhaps. Let me carry you
up the stairs.
Yes. I know it's only a back to the grocery, but it's heavy enough.
It's heavy. It's the milk that's waiting.
To the well.
Yes. 51 steps. Pas ascenseur.
Mr. Forrester's own flat is up 51 stone steps. It has one bedroom and a guest room where Mr. Forrester says his prayers at the prayer store. We talked of many things over a meal he pressure cooked for me, a bit of bull's tail Saturday night. We talked of his priesting on the continent, and I enjoy it, listening like to an old grammar school teacher. And he's got old standards, and keeps himself, unlike me, grammatically correct. We talked of England, of Bishop of Durham, oh, Mr. Gosling, of the ordination of women, oh, don't. We talked of how he could never embrace papal error, never be a Roman Catholic, how the French Church, too, had dropped their religious manners.
When I was in Paris, I'd gone to the Galerie Lafayette to buy a shirt or something, and I wandered up the street between two shops, and there's a church up there to the left, and I went in, and there was a mass going on. And the celebrant stood behind this table. He didn't wear chasuble. They'd given that up. He just wore a stole. And there were various clergymen standing around in raincoats. In raincoats. Dark grey raincoats. They'd just come in and gone up there in their raincoats and their collars and ties and things and just stood around and took part. It's got as bad as that. And I went to a terrible service in the great church in Narbonne, where there an altar looked like a big OXO cube. And this chap was, you know, doing this and his hair and waving his arms around, and it looked like a Methodist chapel. It did, really. It's a spectacle, and it's a show, and they have choirs which face you, a row behind the altar. It's an entertainment. They've got that in. It's very, 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 always very.
Sunday. And French hordes are going to the big church in Port Saint-Jacques, where Mr. Forrester did once preach the sermon as an honoured guest. But there's no bell for his St. Andrews, just as there's no Mother's Union, no jumble sale, no Sunday school. For his last service in the church he restored, his tiny congregation start to gather at about 10:30.
I still occasionally get a letter from, and I have her name, because she's retired years and years and years ago. It's gone. No, my poor brain doesn't work anymore. It's hopeless. Can't remember anybody's name. Miserable.
How long are you here for?
Till Tuesday. We're off on Tuesday morning. Yes. And Laurie is abed at the moment with, she's got sinus trouble and she's suffering from it. Otherwise she'd have been here too.
The Daily Telegraph man. Mrs. Maggs from her crumpled villa. Will Mrs. Forbes be here?
Morning. Good morning. This is Mrs. H-A-U-W. Got it? H-A-U-W. Hall.
Hall.
Hall. Mrs. Hall. No. Good morning. No.
Oh.
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 Good
like
morning,
Hove, without an H.
Good morning, Mrs. Ove.
Ove. Ove.
With your English hymnal.
Have you been?
It's not an English name.
Mrs.
It's not a French name.
Madam Ove, she only speaks English when she comes here.
That's not very often.
No? I've seen him move in the last week of May.
Is he leaving, Pope?
He's rushing away. I'm taking a prayer retreat.
Oh, anyway, but somebody else is coming in lieu.
Well, I don't know anything. They tell me nothing. They won't tell me anything because
I know two of your predecessors. One of them quite well. He lives quite well. Was living quite close to me.
Is that?
But I can't remember his name. Is that what's
Matthew?
Matthew, is that right? That's
he's a name. Very sick man.
I gathered. Yes, that's
really
right.
Sick.
Yes, that's
dying.
Right. I haven't been to see him.
He's been dying for several years.
Yes, I know,
years,
but I'm told they really...
Each
told
Christmas,
he really
Christmas
is dying.
He goes off, Monsieur Le Chapelain, to change from his dark black cassock into the sanctuary to offer his Anglican preparation prayers and don his chasuble.
Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep.
I boast that the collections at the services are probably the largest you will find in the whole Anglican community. That is, per head. When you have a dozen people who produce about £60 between them, it's not at all bad, you know, as compared with some other churches I know.
There were 14 of us, some Graham Greens, some Daphne du Maurier's, and the odd Celia Johnson. I worked it out that Sunday. We'd a combined age of 1,000 years plus between us. And Mr. Forrester stood above the polished pews, and the light shone, the bright light of the south of France, through those stained glass windows, and the faces of the saints, those first hunting, golfing British benefactors, our kind beamed down. He had pulpit presence. Like a theatrical knight, he rose to his occasion.
Please, sir, it wasn't me, it was him. Now, every teacher hears that remark from time to time. And how often it's repeated by those threatened with punishment. And how familiar it must have been in the slave compounds of the ancient world, in the very city of Rome, from which St. Peter wrote. Of course, the statement can be true, but true or false, it lacks nobility. And how rare, and indeed refreshing, is the contrary protest. Please, sir, it wasn't him, it was me.
The sermon was a caviar for the ears. The Queen's English, as she should be spoke. Oh, better than that, it was the English of the 17th century when everyone went to church to hear the word.
What I've got to do today is to take my visiting card off my thing. I'm getting beggars every night at 6 o'clock. A man last night saying he was Austrian, he'd lost all his papers and all his money. I said, Oh, Jesuit. What they do, they come in and they look at all the names on the letterboxes, and if they think there's a good chance of getting some money from one of these, they knock on your door. You see, they look at money.
After the loyal few had gone, the youngest, a man of 50, language teacher with one of the aerospace companies, stayed behind to help Mr. Forrester clear up.
The other day I found a Jesuit on my staircase looking for me, a man I know, and he got a chat with him. He said he can only speak German and English. He can't speak any French, and we can't communicate with him. And it's the same old thing. I've got a car now, and I was in Spain, and they stole everything I've got, and I haven't got anything at all. And they produce documents. Mm. Which, I don't know whether they've been faked up or what. So I gave him 50 francs, but really, I mean...
It's very difficult now, isn't it?
Impossible. I have been conned right, left and centre. In Brighton I was conned too badly. And they're so cunning and clever. I've got a job, Father. I'm starting Monday, and I haven't got enough to carry me over the weekend. Can you help me? Well, I've been had again and again and again, and I'm afraid my heart is very hard. But I'm getting them every day, young people.
At At midday Sunday, me and he, we walked to the chateau again. With an invitation from the French government official in charge of antiquities in Pau to drop up, in this case, not for preservation business, but just a farewell drink and unchangeable natter.
I must ask you, Monsieur Perrault, who is dying in this picture? No, the person is already dead, on a catafalque.
It's supposed to be in the 15th century. It's Charles Le Téméraire, the Duke of Burgundy, who died in the Battle of Nancy. But it was winter, and he was eaten by wolves.
Oh, as a picture,
it's night.
Mr. Forrester lapped up Monsieur Perrault's room. It was an Aladdin's cave of Louis the Thingy's chair, and Josephine Duck's folding table, and the cradle that rocked Henry Cator's, and what you'd expect in a French castle that's been stuffing itself since the 15th century. But the talk soon turned to the future.
Did you get a pension from the society? Is this a biblical society
or
something?
Yes, I am very fortunate. I am hoping to have four.
Oh, that's all
right. I have the professional pension from the church, which is a very good one.
Yeah.
And I have a pension from the Swiss government.
Oh, that's nice.
Because I paid for 8 years into their...
Mm.
And their pensions are extremely good. They're highest in Europe.
In Swiss francs?
And in Swiss francs, you see.
Oh, yes.
And I have the British retirement pension, which I have paid for. And Monsieur Mitterrand.
Yes.
He's going to provide a little, too.
The conversation fell to such matters as how you behead in your country. And I couldn't help thinking, watching in fallopian fashion, there's an awful lot in life to be said for small talk.
Do you know all the restaurants in Poland, small restaurants?
Well, no, I don't really.
Are you used to the same ones?
Well, I very rarely eat out.
Mm.
I was taken to the Café de Paris in Biarritz by an American lady who is, she's not hard up. But I thought it was a highly overrated place. I didn't like the meal.
No, I think it is not very good.
It had I had some soup with plover's eggs floating in it, you know. No. Reminded me of when I was working in Brighton. I lived in a clergy house and we had a housekeeper. Oh, you people, she used to say. You people who like abroad with all that mucked up food, they. Well, it was a bit mucked up.
I half hoped one of them might have taken me out for the odd mucked up plover's egg. But when a man of Monsieur Perrault's distinction says, come to the castle for a drink, he means just that. But fair's fair, got to be British, it was my turn to repay Mr. Forrester for the Saturday's bull tail he'd cooked me. I'd foot the bill, and he suggested a simple country cafe for chicken and chips.
If you had the money, would you not want to go back If you had the money, would you not want to go back
Oh, I have enough money to live in England. Or shall have. No, I don't want to live there anymore. When you've been away for 15 years, you've made new friends where you are. And most the people I was fond of in England are now dead.
Pack it up. You move away because a new priest comes in.
Mm.
But you'll still be a priest.
Yes. Holy orders are indelible. Like baptism. Would you say this hen or this cock have been running around?
I was
in the farmyard, I think it has.
I was saying mine been running around a long time.
Do you despair?
I think that the Church of England is becoming a kind of episcopal sect.
gone down the drain.
Yes, just believe what you like and do what you like and no discipline.
Is it beyond redemption, beyond calling back?
I don't know. God alone knows the answer to these questions.
Monsieur.
C'est le poison.
They never ask you to leave, you know. They kind of hang around indicating they would like you to, but they would never ask you to leave.
No one asked Mr. Forrester to leave Poe. No one ever asked him to leave England. And wherever he's preached from, anybody's coral strand to whatever icy mountain, his breed of clergymen abroad, they are that old England. They carry the brogues in the voice and Harris Tweed in the manners of an England imagined gone, but not forgotten. He and the C of E have drifted apart. He might join the Romanian Orthodox, he said, now he's retired. He's taking his pension, but not returning to England.
You know the admiral at Biarritz?
Yes, who of course is as British as they make them. And that's a French wife.
And when I said I was going to stay, he said, oh, I think you're wise. He said, I like living here, I feel safe. And that's extraordinary. He said, if I'm safe and free. Yeah, I feel free, he says. And I think one does. One feels free in a way that one doesn't in the United Kingdom. I don't know why, but one does feel free.
Waiting for Mrs. Forbes was presented by Ray Gosling and produced by Alistair Wilson.